Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 17, Text 12. Was it prose or with the Sanskrit? Eshu Purushanam Ayutha Purashayu Varshanam Deva Kaupanam Nagayutha Prananam Vajra Samhanana Balabayo Moda Pramodita Mahasurata Mituna Vyavaya Pavarga Varshadriteka Garba Kalatranam Tatratu Tetrayuga Sama Kaluvartate. So the translation goes, in these eight varshas, or tracts of land, human beings live 10,000 years, according to earthly calculations. All the inhabitants are almost like demigods. They have the bodily strength of 10,000 elephants. Indeed, their bodies are sturdy as thunderbolts. The youthful duration of their lives is very pleasing, and both men and women enjoy sexual union with great pleasure for a long time. After years of sensual pleasure, when a balance of 1 year of life remains, the wife conceives a child. Thus, the standard of pleasure for the residents of these heavenly regions is exactly like of the human beings who live during Treta Yuga. So please repeat with me. In these eight varshas, or tracts of land, human beings live 10,000 years according to earthly calculations. All the inhabitants are almost like demigods. They have the bodily strength of 10,000 elephants. Indeed, their bodies are as sturdy as thunderbolts. The youthful duration of their lives is very pleasing. And both men and women enjoy sexual union with great pleasure for a long time. After years of sensual pleasure, when a balance of 1 year of life remains, the wife conceives a child. Thus, the standard of pleasure for the residents of these heavenly regions is exactly like that of the human beings who lived during Treta Yuga. So he is the purport by His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. There are four yugas: Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwarpa Yuga, and Kali Yuga. During the first yuga, Satya Yuga, people were very pious. Everyone practiced the mystic yoga system for spiritual understanding and realization of God. Because everyone was always absorbed in samadhi, no one was interested in material sense enjoyment. During Treta Yuga, people enjoyed sensual pleasure without tribulations. Material miseries began in Dwapara Yuga. But they were not very stringent. Stringent material misery really began from the advent of Kali Yuga. Another point in this verse is that in all eight of these heavenly varshas, although men and women enjoy sex pleasure, there is no pregnancy. Pregnancy takes place only in lower grade life. For example, animals like dogs and hogs become pregnant twice a year. And in each time, they beget at least half a dozen offspring. Even lower species of life, such as snakes, give birth to hundreds of young at one time. This verse informs us that the grades of life higher than ours, pregnancy occurs only once in a lifetime. People still have sex life, but there is no pregnancy. In the spiritual world, people are not very attracted to sex life due to their exalted devotion attitude. Practically speaking, there is no sex life in the spiritual world. But even if sometimes it does occur, there is no pregnancy at all. On the planet Earth, however, human beings do become pregnant, although the tendency is to avoid having children. In this sinful age of Kali, people have even taken to the process of killing the child in the womb. This is the most degraded practice. It can only perpetuate the miserable material conditions of those who perform it. So reading again, the translation goes like, in these eight varshas or tracts of land, human beings live 10,000 years according to earthly calculations. All the inhabitants are almost like demigods. They have the body strength of 10,000 elephants. Indeed, their bodies are as sturdy as thunderbolts. The youthful durations of their lives is very pleasing, and both men and women enjoy sexual union with great pleasure for a long time. After years of sensual pleasure, when a balance of 1 year of life remains, the wife conceives a child. Thus, the standard of pleasure for the residents of these heavenly regions is exactly like that of human beings who live during Treta Yuga. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jana Jana Shalakaya Chakshur Anmilitan Jena Tasmaye Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovit Vistam Istapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kaupa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So first of all, thank you very much for one more chance to share some simple realizations. We gather along this wonderful Sangha of these devotees of Mayapur. So many exalted devotees gather here in Sri Mayapuram to relish the glories of the transcendental realms. So this verse is starting with a continuation from last verse yesterday. His Grace Janet Vasprabhu gave a brilliant class explaining us the goal of spiritual life. And this verse starts with Eshu, which is in this eighth varsha, so it's referring to the previous verse, which is Bharat Varsha. And the topic is, this is the field of fruitive activities. The Bharat Varsha is the only place where actually we can generate. Other place, we're just spending what we got here. So this is really the central station of elevation or going down in the spiritual world. And as His Grace Janivas Prabhu pointed out yesterday, it's simply a question of going up and down. And he was referring to the Patel dynasty, how they go up, have their families in Pitrilok, and then they come back and they enjoy, of course with different bodies, but it's the same community. And like that, they're going up and down to enjoy their friendship with their relatives. But they're not really getting the full satisfaction of the soul. And that was his final note. And Rupa Goswami gives this note in the end of the purport. Prabhupada brings it out with that verse, Anya Bilasita Shunyam Jnana Kamadi Anavritam Anukalyena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhakti Uttama, which is really bringing out the importance of transcendental devotional service to the Lord. So this is the information that the Acharya gives. And in this specific purport, even though the verse is showing the advantages of this tract of land, of Bharatvarsha, culminating in its well designed for sexual life, which is something sought about in the whole universe, Prabhupada does not make any very strong remarks in his purport. It's like he's already given the note behind. And in a previous class, His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Purna Swami was explaining that Srimad Bhagavatam describing what's beyond the material universe, or starting by the point where the Gita stops, which is religion without any motivations. That is the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. That's where the Gita stops. So it naturally would describe the whole universe, so that you would conclude that having seen everything, there's nothing left to see. Maybe in that specific planet I'll find something. Now the Bhagavatam already describes everything that exists. All the possible places that you could go are described here with their features. And this verse has a very important relevance because it touches the word mituna, which Prabhupada brings here, mituna, as combinations of man and woman. That's how he translated. And mituna is also described in other places, the sexual interaction between male and female. So the whole material nature is running on this principle. The modes, the three modes, material nature, when they go from pradhan to mahat, the element which is injected there is false ego. And the false ego has the characteristic of karana sharira. We discussed previously in another class how the karana sharira is the first most subtle body which involves the soul. This karana sharira means we think we are the doer and we are the enjoyer. And then enjoying means in this world mituna bhava. So this is the principle which imprisons the jiva to this world. Every plant, every bee, every lizard, they're very, very tight. They're imprisoned in this principle. And so are the human beings. And here, the verse is describing what facility it's given to this element of existence, the sexual pleasure. The bodies are very strong, and basically the whole verse is a description of the qualities of the bodies of this place. They're strong like 10,000 elephants. Their bodies are sturdy like thunderbolts. And the sexual pleasure is available freely. And pregnancy only comes at the end of 1 year of pollens. In the next verse, we'll glorify the environment, all the gardens and the flowers and the smiles and the whole romantic scenery, which any Hollywood film would be really looking for. It's really right here in Srimad Bhagavatam. Then the question arises, if that is there in Bhagavatam, what is the fault of this, right? The fault is right here, at the last year of balance, they have a child. That means it will finish. And they're attached because it's freely available and everybody is doing the same practice. And nobody's there to preach to them pure devotional service. Their devotees, as it will be clear in the next verses, they go on doing their services, and because they have so much pious credit, they don't forget Krishna. But they don't go for real pure devotional service. Just like in India, you talk about Krishna, everybody says, yeah, Krishna's okay. Maybe when I'm old, yeah, sure. They all know Krishna. And the thing that amazes the Indian population is how Westerners come and take up so seriously. They give up sometimes the very prestigious, comfortable situation in the West, like Giriraj Maharaj, his father was so rich, offered $1 million for him to leave just to go to America. And he stayed in India with Prabhupada, building the temple of Chaupati in such austere situation. So that kind of endeavor, of drive, the person who is in a comfort zone of piety cannot understand because it's comfortable. So this is the fault which is being hidden. It will finish and he's attached. And his next destination is this planet here, planet Earth. Because this person is coming down from the celestial planets. His time there has finished, his balance is over, his money is finished. But still, he gets some time in these heavenly regions, which Kashmir is considered one of them. And there, everything is so opulent, and the person is attached. Then, but there is no fine. Just like in India, you can drive any way you like. I mean, you can go wrong, right, sideways. Nobody will say practically anything except in some specific areas. It's okay. But when the same driver goes to Europe, he has to sell his car after the end of the drive just to pay the fine he's run into. So this person coming down, right, coming here, my analogy is reversed, right, because India is the liberation place. And Europe would be the conditioned place. But the person coming from this heavenly region here, he's born as a very rich musician. Look at the Beatles, how they came up. What piety, they're so rich. If you just analyze George Harrison, through his donation of the manor, how many thousands of people have purified themselves with pure bhakti yoga, just because he provided the facility. And he wanted himself to join us, be one of us, shave his head. The Prabhupada told him, just chant your music and convince the world that Krishna is God. And he did. We have so many devotees who came to Krishna consciousness because George Harrison chanted what he chanted, did what he did. And then a person coming like that not always takes what he did. They just get heavily drugged. They go through 10, 15, 20 marriages just because they're used to that. But here, the fine is very intense because it's the place where karma actually takes existence. And they start getting fine after fine because they don't know what are the traffic rules for this specific place. And then what is their next destination? They go down to the hellish planets. And like that, they're going up and down, up and down. You see, so many devotees are born in the West attracted to yoga. That means they were born in India in previous life, and now they're born there. And so many people in India attracted to material life. That means they were in the West, but through piety they were born here. So these transmigrations are happening in the universe, and it's very dangerous. Why? Because your body will finish and you won't know in what consciousness you end. and whatever you think, there you go. If you do devotional service, you can very easily attain these heavenly regions. Prabhupada even mentioned some of my disciples will have to stop at the heavenly planets. And if you 10,000 years means Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has gone, and when we come back, Kali Yuga is progressing very fast. So it's very dangerous to take such a birth, specifically for us who are in the Sankirtan movement. So here, this is the fall. It will end and attachment will be made. And if we make a quick analysis of the mind is such a perfect machine that it can create such an intense number of pictures, because the process is thinking, feeling and willing. So everything starts very subtle. You start thinking about something and then you start desiring and then you're willing to do. Because it starts entering the mind through the mode of goodness, through the contemplation. Then the intelligence comes in analyzing the different options. And then the mode of ignorance comes in actually wanting to do something. So for a devotee who has taken shelter of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, it's extremely important to be very careful and to follow all the instructions given by the acharyas, because he may very easily be attracted to any of these side products of bhakti, all this piety which bhakti generates, and you may stop in a heavenly planet. And this is what is waiting for us there. Nobody will remind you. Rupa Goswami won't be there saying, Prabhuji, pure devotional service will take you to Goloka Vrindavan. And then you might be again thinking about all this. And you'll go eventually go back to Godhead, because once we are in touch with pure bhakti, we'll have to go back to Godhead. It's a question of time. But we may delay that. And by delay, we don't exactly know how many lives. It may be some lives, millions of lives, we never know. So this is what Prabhupada is warning us in this. And Srimad Bhagavatam being actually a scripture which has the potency of bringing the jiva back to its most exalted position, which is to serve Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. We must really take advantage of the message which the acharyas give here. Another very important point Prabhupada mentions here is he describes the four yugas. And he just mentions how in each yuga, everything is just degrading. And one symptom is the pleasures degrade. Because the pleasure is connected to the piety. The more pious, the more pleasure. The less pious, the more suffering. This is the law of the universe. So as the yugas progress, the suffering becomes more intense. And that's so obvious. I was in India 30 years ago, and it's such a difference. If you go into any village, practically speaking, it was so peaceful. It was such a heaven on earth. Everybody was satisfied. They were producing. There are so many attacks, but they are still very connected to the tradition. 30 years later, you go to village, everybody's anxious after money. They're leaving agriculture to the real estate business, construction, going to the cities, and so much more anxious. People don't have time anymore in the villages, in 30 years. So, you see how Kali Yuga is advancing. And here Prabhupada is describing how miseries advance over the yugas. And then, by the end of Kali Yuga, the descriptions of the 12th canto are very, you know, frightening for us. So here, what Prabhupada is giving is that in this Kali Yuga, he is connecting that point, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come and he has given the process of chanting the holy names. Prabhupada is very nicely connecting this point. Actually, he connects it in the previous verse. In this verse, he's simply talking about the bad consciousness which has developed in Kali Yuga. And he equates here the process of abortion as a process of misery. In other verses, he equates the miseries of killing the cows to wars and such suffering. And here, he is equating the process of abortion. So we can very clearly see how breaking the regulative principles just brings misery. So Prabhupada is showing us that the human beings don't understand that in this form, the real essence of life is tapa, is austerity. Because by doing austerity, you'll be promoted to another place. If you do austerity with the goal of doing, of going to a better sphere like the heavenly planets, you take to the pious system and you go. But that's a waste of time. Because if you do the same process through bhakti yoga, through pure unalloyed devotional service, you go back to Goloka Vrindavan and have such an immense greater pleasure by having the reverse mentality, which is to serve. So, this week we had some very interesting classes. We had a devotee who is in the Gurukul, Chaitanya Prabhu. He's just describing his life. And we can see how it's so natural for him. How devotional life is part of his life. And he was describing when his father was training him and coming from a very strict mother's line, you know, they're doing strict pujas and everything. And how he was ready. So when I was listening to his class, it just occurred to me, what great souls are among us. And they're ready. What Prabhupada envisioned actually is happening. And when Prabhupada was going to America, he went to Shantipur to pray. And there's that beautiful pastime where he was praying and the pujari recognized that the grihastha is at the end of the temple and some tears are coming down from his eyes. So he goes to him and asks what's the problem, and he reveals he has a mission, he has to go, he has to preach to a very fallen culture, and he has to convince them about the pure pastimes of the Lord. And the pujari blesses him, and later on, when Prabhupada comes back, the pujari gets to know that Prabhupada has made it in a Back to Godhead magazine. He sees his picture and he comes running to Sri Mayapur. And here in Sri Mayapur, he's trying to tell someone that grihastha which he blessed, no, that sannyasi at the time, that sannyasi that was a grihastha visiting that place, made it. And then the first person he meets is the devotee who is actually collecting the pastimes. So she published this pastime in a Back to Godhead. And that's the evidence when you hear the classes over these last classes. I was just realizing, here is a devotee coming from the Madhva Sampradaya. It's so natural for him. This week a devotee, just 2 days ago, left his body, Advaita Hari. I had always met him, but he was just a grave personality. I could see he was grave and sober, had a very deep sadhana. But that's all I could infer. And then when he left, someone posted on the forum a class that he gave on the Kirtan Academy. And immediately when I listened to the class, I just got in contact with such a deep meditation on the Bengali bhajans. How he was saying that you have to open your heart to let Krishna come in. And the intensity, the depth of his prayers just revealed the person that he was. So I started meditating what personalities are among us, what deep realizations they bring, what austerities they have done, and how they have come together by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through Srila Prabhupada. And that was a warning to me, that what Srimad Bhagavatam is revealing, that we should take advantage of the association of sadhus. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the perfect medium, because it's revealing that supposedly these places which are so desired by the traditional religions. This is a description of heaven for many religions. What people, you have these paintings of the Eden. This is it. This is the description they're looking for. And right here the Bhagavad is exposing the failures of this. What will happen to us? We'll get attached to these realms, we'll come back, go to the hellish planets, and there you go, samsara for us. But then a pure devotee comes and he's saying, no, you should not stay here. You should go back to Godhead. You should go back to Godhead by doing pure devotional service under the guidance of the pure devotee. This is his message. And he's telling us through these pages how we will do that. The next verse, the four quadruple manifestation of Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Aniruddha and Pradyumna will be described as deities which are presiding these places. But even then, in these heavenly planets, it's not common that someone takes up pure devotional service. And here, in a very immediate form, it's available for all of us. All of us can take this remedy which Srimad Bhagavatam is prescribing and immediately in this life go back to Godhead. This is what's special about this verse. Because it's revealing the faults of any place in the universe. And the narrator will convince us that there's no pleasure here. There's no pleasure here. Whatever arrangements we are making to make a more comfortable life, it is temporary. And very soon, as soon as the arrangement is made, you realize that something is missing. Because the nature of this world, as soon as you reach the goal, some prayojana, then you have to go back to sambandha, the field. What do you do with it? There you go. That is the nature. Satisfaction does not belong to this realm. The real satisfaction is only available, as stated by His Grace Janavas Prabhu, when you actually serve the Lord. That is when the pleasure really comes. The pleasure really comes when you are present in serving the Vaishnavas and the Guru. That's when the pleasure is happening. When we are cutting potatoes in the temple, washing the pots as bhaktas, that's when the pleasure is really happening. And we didn't really realize. We thought pleasure was in another room, in the sannyasi room. It's also there, but how much pleasure is there? Krishna is just giving doses of pleasure because you're starting the process. So you're just freely giving what will come after a lot of work. After you purify the heart, again He will give that same pleasure. But when in that moment, when you're present without another motive, we're just washing the pots and chatting away how good it was to jump in the kirtan. There's no other reason. We couldn't show how austere or knowledgeable or good in the world we were, because we were not. We just knew. So there was no agenda. It was pure. And Krishna was giving that nectar to us in those moments. I remember the first time I went to the temple, three Indian gentlemen convinced me to go to the temple. I was trying to take them to some, because they came, I was a translator, they wanted a translator. So I presented myself, and the translation was about Jyotish, Vedic astrology. So then I had to take prasadam with them, meditate with them. They gave me a dhoti, I put the dhoti on, and I went to the temple with dhoti, long hair. It's quite an interesting scenery. And then they open at 8 and people change their night clothes and to receive us, and everybody was excited. And I proposed, they went, let's show me your city. Said, okay, let's go to some bars, I can show you some typical dances. I said, what are we going to do there? Don't you have a temple? And then, oh yes, there is a temple, Hare Krishna temple. Then I went there and I showed them the temple. So they introduced me to Krishna consciousness, and then this was one Sunday. The next Sunday they invited me, I came back, and I jumped in the kirtan like so much that my house was 6 stops from the temple. I forgot to take the bus. I just went chanting, Hare Krishna, when I realized I had walked 6 stops, and I said, hey, I'm home, because it was so intense. So that I was present in that moment, and that's why Krishna gave me that nectar. So being present in the association of the Vaishnava is really important. And we have the opportunity, we get so busy. When a great Vaishnava leaves our association to go back to Goloka, then we say, oh, I could have offered prasadam for him, I could have invited, I could have served him, I could have taken advantage of his association. And likewise, so many Vaishnavas are walking here. And I was wondering, I didn't take enough opportunity to serve them because of my selfishness. I have to get rid of that someday, somehow. But this is what's available for us in Srimad Bhagavatam, is the awareness that here is the chance to be in Goloka. Actually, in Chaitanya's class, he was referring to a sadhu who was walking here in Mayapur, and he was just saying, this place is none different from Goloka. And he was referring to the breeze, into the Ganga, into everything, to the association. So that realm is available. Devotees are experiencing here. So it's up to us which realm we want to take. If we want another realm, Prodamaya arranges as well. She covers. And that's also available. So, there was one more point I wanted to show connected to the mind. The point is gain and safety. Because here, there's a description of gain and safety. People don't have to work. The facilities won't go away. It's there, it's fixed. It will only go away at the end of their lives. Right? So gain and safety is there. It's stated. So many times as Vaishnavas, I get caught myself and I see other friends, devotees, in looking for a safety in this world, looking to the safety. And I was contemplating on this point and I came to realize that's by the influence of that Karana Sharira. Because if I want to control, I need to have that gain. Because without a gain, how can I control? If I don't have the facility, I cannot control, right? And safety, I can enjoy. If I'm safe, then I can enjoy. But if I'm not safe, I cannot enjoy. For example, if you're walking down an alley at night, it's dangerous, you're afraid, you cannot enjoy. If you have a serious disease, you might leave your body, you cannot enjoy. So safety is enjoyment. So control and enjoyment comes down. And the mind is always looking for this too. So that's why these verses, they reveal what's the deep unconscious levels, because we have been to these places. And we might be looking for them. Actually, there's a passage when a sannyasi is traveling with Srila Prabhupada, and someone mentioned in a previous class, that just by habit, he said, so many people on the station, I focus on that beautiful lady. And Prabhupada says, that's by habit, because by millions and millions of lives you've been doing that. So in the dham, that may still be happening sometimes. And it's very important for us to be aware of that. And to grow our faith that by serving, all the facilities will be provided. I was very inspired. I wanted to mention this because of the class of Chaitanya. Because he was talking to a friend who lives in Mumbai, and he described, I wake up at 8, go to work, do this, do that, go to bed at 10. And he said, well, we every day have a festival, Dashnarati, we eat in ghee, we live in a beautiful place, it's a very opulent place, there's so many trees, there's so many great people, so it's great. So the facility is there, but somehow, the trick to have this facility is not to be attached to having that facility. Because once you're attached, then this mood of control and enjoyment is present. And then you cannot really enjoy. Because if you're attached, if you just look at the Western countries, people cannot enjoy. Because as soon as they start enjoying, they're afraid that it will finish. A person is eating a pizza, he's thinking it will finish. Right? So he's gobbling one and then two and then ten and then he can't eat anything, he can't enjoy anymore because he's sick. So the West doesn't understand what enjoyment is. In a class I heard, even if enjoyment slap on the face, you couldn't recognize. And the East, on the other hand, could enjoy very nicely because they could enjoy everything and at the same time do their pious activities. But the Bhagavatam is proposing neither East nor West. He's proposing pure devotional service. And to do that, we have to get rid of our attachments. So it seems the attachment is the process which avoids us from actually enjoying to be a servant. Because to be a servant, you have to be unattached. So the question is then how to be unattached. And in another class I heard, it's not by negating, and that's a big mistake. If you negate your attachments, you just increase them, because it's just the other side. What you have to do, that's what I heard, you have to find Krishna in the attachment. And by looking what is the quality of Krishna that you're looking for, that quality you cultivated until the point when you can actually give it up for a higher quality of Krishna. Just like the lesson of the wino who was drinking wine, and Prabhupada mentioned, if you see Krishna in that wine, you'll go back to Godhead. Because he sees that Krishna is the taste of water, and then he realizes that I can offer a better water than wine to Krishna, and then he gives it up. And like that, we'll give up our attachments, and then come to this exalted position where simply by serving Krishna, everything we need is provided in the exact quantity that we need by Krishna. So just to finish on a sweet note, it's also called the descent of the river Ganges. And the river Ganges is here, available for us. And actually, there is a nice description in the Ramayana written by Bhakti Karswami, a Vishwamrita describing to Ramachandra many pastimes. So he describes the descent of river Ganges in a very concise way. In the first, in the Balakanda, he's describing that. So he's describing how King Sagara wanted to do this sacrifice and have children. And then through the sacrifice, he got into a deep trouble. And he couldn't finish the sacrifice. And his son starts digging all the planet, and everybody got disturbed. And in the end, he got a very serious reaction that Kapila Deva just incinerates all his sons. And then he is very morose. And for many, many generations, they're trying to get Ganges to come down, and they can't. Right? So he couldn't. And then Amsumam, his grandson, tried, but he still couldn't. And then he went to the heavenly planets and he couldn't bring the Ganga down. And then his son, Dilipa, tried. He did severe austerities, but Ganga would not come. Right? And then finally, because he had no sons, Bhagirathi gets the task. And he does 1,000 years of penance to bring Mother Ganga down. And then Lord Brahma and all the demigods are so pleased that they bestow the benediction that she'll come. So I was thinking about this very concise description, and then I could see that for thousands of years, great pious kings were trying to bring Mother Ganga down. And right here is Mother Ganga available for us. We did not have to do 1,000 years of penance, at least in this life, to have Mother Ganges. And we can go there, take her darshan, and pray that she can give us pure devotional service to Radha Madhava, Panchatattva, and Srimad Rishingadeva. So I wanted to end in this sweet note, saying how we can use these prayers to actually ask and convince Mother Ganga to give us that benediction. Then I'll finish here. And if there are comments, corrections, or comments, please, you're welcome. Ganyagamya Prabhu? And then, Tirthakara Prabhu, Mataji has a question. No. The description of that? No, Prabhu. I haven't come across that description. Perhaps. I heard. And it has to be like that because it's in the last year, right? So if you're going to go through a whole process, then it will be a big problem. We hear that in the pastime of Menaka and Vishwamrita, right? When Shakuntala is born, she's just born and she goes to the forest immediately, right? So there's some description, it seems to be like that. Yeah. Okay. Tirthakara Prabhu, you had a comment?
Question.
How can we identify? Okay, that's a good question. Whenever the mood is that you want to... Did you hear the question? He's asking, how can we recognize if we are trying to enjoy the facility or we're trying to serve? Yeah, basically, yeah. Whenever you see that you're looking for the upliftment of others, that's when you're trying to serve facility. Use facility to uplift others. And whenever you see facility as a means to protect yourself, usually that's when we are looking for gain and then safety. So even if we are looking at facilities with the goal of protecting us, if our goal is connected to Krishna, that's valid. Because it will come to the second position. You see, Srila Prabhupada, he was walking through all these palaces in Europe, but for him, they're just stopping place to give Krishna to everyone. So that's a mature position of facility, simply a means to express my devotion to Krishna and to elevate the others. And when facility is important for my personal existence, there's still an element of gain and safety in that. Right? So the full picture comes with the Goswamis who wouldn't even sleep under the same tree. So no gain, no safety. There's so many trees, Haribo, we're always under a different tree. Like that, we're always giving mercy to different souls. Yeah. But it's very important to not reject the facility if it's connected to Krishna. Because many devotees, many marriages have been broken because we negate, we don't give the attention which the facility and those institutions need to be able to make through to pure devotional service. And then you make spiritually, but materially we break up. And then we have so many marriages which have broken up, we have so many children which have gone through so much emotional, you know, difficulties. And if we can offer, if it's allowed, if it's within our realm of karma, a better situation, and then it's better that we find what element is attachment is there, cultivated until it's connected to pure devotional service. Just like someone wanted to follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was in South Indian Chaitanya, so you stay home, mature your devotion, and then you come to me. It seems the principle is a building principle until it's mature. And then when it's mature, it's tasty. Like lychees, huh? Mangoes, matures, everybody wants them. Yes? Mataji had a comment or question? I saw someone, I don't know. Mataji, there?
Did you say there is no knowledge about pure devotional service in the heavenly planets?
I mentioned, usually the acharyas don't go there. Usually. But even if they do, like Narada Muni does, usually there is no immediate, let's say, endeavor to hear like that. There's so many parties, people so busy enjoying that it's there, but it's the interest, the motivation is not there. Just like in India, you have so much pure devotees everywhere, always have been, but many people don't take it up. You see, so... Yeah, there is. The Bhagavatam of the celestial planets are bigger than our. We haven't, our Bhagavatam is limited, their Bhagavatam is bigger because they have more. And then there are different planets, different realms, the BBT had to print more books. But it's a question of taking it up. So the motive to take it up comes from the pure devotee. Because that we are servants, that they have understood. The demigods are servants of God, they're serving. It will come up in the next verse that they enjoy, but they know Krishna is God, they are worshipping Him. but all the desires are there. So they don't have the drive to take pure devotional service. While here, we have such a contrast of pleasure and suffering almost immediately that it becomes much more available just by comparison. That's why so many Westerners have taken up. Because we were looking for something in the 60s, and when we got frustrated so deeply, Prabhupada was available, so many of us followed. So you see, so that's the difference. It's available, but it's not the major element, you know. And the demigods know, they come to many sacrifices, they're part of Bhagavatam, they're describing Bhagavatam, but not all of them, you know. Many, like the sons of Kuvera, they are not exactly imbibed in Bhagavatam, you know. So it's a question of what is the preeminence. And here in Bharatvarsha, you can actually generate your next destination. While there, you're just enjoying your pious credit. Yeah? Okay? Is that okay? There is. So if I understood, what you're asking is practical examples how to see Krishna in attachments. Right? Okay. So, how it works. Okay, how it works. Okay. So, you see, Krishna has entered the universe. We all know he's in the atoms. And the way a certain atom reacts with another atom is Krishna's potency in that element. The pillar is a pillar because the atoms are there with strength, protection. That's why it's a pillar. Right? The microphone is a different type of atom. The way, the sound waves which you carry in the room have a different type of... So all of these are the Brahman potencies of Krishna, which have taken different forms. Now, when we see that we are attached to a specific manifestation of Brahman, for example, we attach to a Brahman Pizza Hut, for example, and then we like that pizza because it's a specific aroma, a specific cheese, a specific taste, a specific light in the room, all these are qualities of Krishna, right? So when you see the qualities of Krishna which are there, you can get those qualities transferred to a more pious situation initially, where there's no onions, for example, you just take the onions and oh, Krishna accept it. So, you do it more piously, in a more pious situation, and in the most purified situation, you just see the qualities you're looking for and you take it from Mahaprasada directly. So, a person is going to Pizza Hut in a cup in a big town, then he decides to make the pizza at home, offer it to Krishna, and then he just decides to eat Mahaprasadam and get the same qualities he was getting from Pizza Hut through Mahaprasadam. So he's gone from a very lower manifestation of that quality to a higher. Okay, so the practical element is identify those qualities which are present in our attachment. Meditate on them. What is it? For example, are you attracted by the aroma of a pizza? Is it attraction is the soft music in the environment? So when we isolate the quality we attached, it's easier to transfer that to a different scenario. Okay? So in the verse is describing sexual pleasure, which is the Mithuni Bhava of the universe. So everybody will get attached to this pleasure. So what is it that attracts you? So when you identify, is it beauty? Is it strength? Then you start to see. Talking about beauty, there's a story of Ramanuja, a wrestler, fully attached to a woman which was the most beautiful in the court. She was the ballerina for the king. And he was with an umbrella to her, covering her. And the sages have told him, you told that you can convince anybody to be a pure devotee. We want you to convince that guy over there, who is just with an umbrella covering this beautiful lady. So he just said the point. Okay, why are you protecting her? Because I'm a protector of beauty. I think I mentioned this in another class. You see, if I show you a higher beauty, can you surrender to that? Sure. So he prays to the deity, and through the eyes of the deity, all the beauty of Krishna just goes out. And when this wrestler sees, immediately on the spot he becomes a pure devotee. That's the posing of Ramanuja. But the principle is that. Is that clear, the principle? Yes. Okay, so what you're saying, if I understood, is that are you looking for an example which addresses, right? So that's what you're looking for. Okay. So first is the principle. The principle is we think whatever is in this world actually has a potency on its own. So the Chatusloka of the Bhagavatam is just revealing that there's no potency in the atoms itself. It's coming from Krishna. So, you know, whatever example we take, the precise point is Krishna is there. And what I'm looking for is Krishna, but I think it's not. That's the principle. Now, if you want to manifest that principle in an application, a detail, it can be a house, it can be position, it can be whatever it is. Let's say a person is attached to position. Right? So what is it in position that attracts him? Is it to be recognized? Is it to be when someone is there, he sees you and invites you? So actually, is it being loved, the underlying principle? But you express that through being an important personality? Do you understand? So below prestige, there is a value. And what is that value? And usually what we're looking for externally, it's like much superficial. What you're really looking for is way deeper. Because if a person is rich, has a house, has a car, has prestige, she's fully equipped, still she's not satisfied. Right? Because what she's really looking for is Krishna. But between Krishna and the social prestige, there are other values. There's a whole lot of values. To be loved, to be accepted, to be protected. So protection is what we're looking for. Do you understand? So when we look for a prestigious situation, many times what we want is to be protected. Sometimes in marriage, all you want is to be loved. Then you do all that endeavor just to be loved. But you could be loved by serving the devotees of Krishna and they love you. Some devotees say, I hate you, but actually they love you. So, do you understand? Is it okay? Well, the question could easily be answered by what attachment we all had in the beginning of our devotional life and how much we have it has gone. So what we are really talking is the subtle attachments, right? The gross has gone, mostly, right? So then the subtle is there. So when the subtle is there, this technique of analyzing what it is helps you to identify and then transfer it to Krishna. That's what I've done. Through practice, it can be done. Of course, the purifying element comes from the pure bhakti, from the chanting of the mantra. But as a parallel process, if you identify what is your attachment, because attachment is coming from the field, right? Attachment is Sankarshan, right? He is the identity, he is the Lord of identity. So in practical terms, only by the mercy of Nityananda that can be removed, right? And unless you remove completely the Karana Sharira, it cannot go. Completely. But as sadhana bhaktas, if we are identifying whatever value we still attach and we are connecting to Krishna, it will just transfer to this pure devotion service in the end. The intensity which you do is the intensity which it manifests. If you see a bhakta in the Lower East Side, even though he knew nothing about culture, nothing about philosophy, he was acting like a pure devotee. Because he just convinced himself so, and that's it. We heard the story of Jayananda the other day about Mahatma Prabhu, and his behavior is of a saint, is a pure devotee. So the intensity which you do is the result that you take. Now, if we take it slowly, then of course, the realization will come slowly too. The more strict you are, the stronger the result. Is that okay? Okay, I think we'll end here. It's already 9:05. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.